Thank you, choir. Alleluia. Would you join me for the reading of the scripture, the responsive reading of the resurrection, and printed in your bulletins, from Matthew 28, 1 through 10. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him.' This is my message for you." Suddenly, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me."
Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you, we praise you for your wonderful word. And Father, we pray that you open our hearts and our minds anew this day as we hear the very familiar story of your resurrection, and also as we hear that familiar story of Lazarus's resurrection. Lord, help us to hear what your Holy Spirit is saying to us this day. And may we go forth into the world eager to share the good news of Jesus. For we ask and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The scripture reading this morning is John chapter 11, verses 1 through 44. Please stand in honor of God's word. "Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sister sent a message to Jesus, 'Lord, he whom you love is ill.' But when Jesus heard it, he said, 'This illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it.' Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, 'Let us go to Judea again.' The disciples said to him, 'Rabbi, the Jews were just now trying to stone you, and you are going there again?' Jesus answered, 'Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble because they see the light of this world, but those who walk at night stumble because the light is not in them.' After saying this, he told them, 'Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to awaken him.' The disciples said to him, 'Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will be all right.' Jesus, however, had been speaking about his death, but they thought he was referring merely to sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, 'Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I am glad I was not there so that you may believe, but let us go to him.' Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, 'Let us also go that we may die with him.' When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, 'Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him.' Jesus said to her, 'Your brother will rise again.' Martha said to him, 'I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day.' Jesus said to her, 'I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." When she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her in the house consoling her saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, There is a stench because he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I've said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. And Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. It is a scene from the scriptures that, if captured on film, could be identified as unbelievable moments caught on camera. Jesus has been ministering to people east of the Jordan River when he receives the word that from Mary and Martha that Lazarus is sick. Jesus is quite close to these sisters and to their brother. He has spent time with them at their home. He dearly loves them as family. And yet Jesus waits a couple of days before he goes, so that he is glorified through that moment in time, as Lazarus is not only sick, but then will eventually succumb to his illnesses. When Jesus arrives, Lazarus has been in the tomb 4 days. Martha goes out to meet him, and in her grief, she says, "If you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Martha is filled with incredible grief, yet at the same time, she's holding out hope. Jesus tells her that Lazarus will rise again. And Martha realizes that is true in the resurrection at the last day. And then Jesus declares in the most significant "I am" truth statements in Scripture, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die." Jesus asks her if she believes that. And she replies, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." And then Martha goes into the house. Mary's still in there grieving. She's in there with a host of mourners. And she tells Mary, the teacher wants to see you. And so Mary, along with these mourners who think she's going out to the gravesite, they follow her as she comes to Jesus. It was the custom of the day that the more unrestrained the crying and the weeping was, the more honor and respect one had for the deceased. So there is incredible wailing and shrieking, loud wailing. This is not just a little bit, you know, wipe the tears. We're talking about screeching, screaming, wailing at the death of Lazarus. Jesus is overwhelmed by it all. He is in anguish for the pain that the people's hearts had as he is witnessing all of this before his very eyes, and Jesus himself begins to weep. When Jesus then gets to the tomb, he tells them to take away the stone. Assuming that Jesus is going in to see Lazarus, Martha tells him, you know, Lord, look, he's been in there 4 days. He stinks. He's dead. It's a dead body in there. The smell, it will be overwhelming. You go in there. And then Jesus tells them to move the stone. And they move the stone, and Jesus prays, and then he commands, Lazarus, come out. And Lazarus staggers out with the linen dressings hung from his arms and his feet and his head. And he stands there, resurrected. Now, to get this into perspective, we read the story, but let's put it in our language. Imagine we're at Ferguson's funeral home across the street where someone has been for 4 days. Family is grieving while viewing the body. Jesus comes in and says, come out. Come out. And the loved one sits up in the casket, throws his legs over, jumps up, and starts walking around. The screaming and the hollering that would take place would be heard in Dublin, Ohio, I guarantee you. We read the story of Lazarus, and we can't really grasp it, but if you put it in the perspective of somebody coming out of a casket over at Ferguson's funeral home during the viewing hours, believe me, we would all be shaking, and we would all be screaming, and we would all be rejoicing as well. So that helps us to understand the full impact that the townspeople had when Lazarus came out of that tomb. Jesus provides them and you and me as well an incredible foretaste of what is going to happen to those who believe. For today, we come to the most significant stone that was moved at a tomb. And it wasn't by human hands in the case of Lazarus, but by the hands of God. And that stone is in the front of the tomb where Jesus was placed after his death. The women go to the tomb, and there is another violent earthquake as an angel of the Lord comes down from heaven and goes to the tomb and rolls back the stone and sits on top of it. The angel just glistens. And the guards become petrified like dead men. And who wouldn't? And the angel gives the women 4 messages. We might say this tombstone talk is a rockin' and a rollin'. Do not be afraid. Many of you remember John Huffman spoke here at my installation service. And in one of his sermons, he has said that the 2 greatest fears are the fear of dying and the fear of living. And how true that is. We see the women here at the tomb. where they experience the fear of death when they discover Jesus' body is not there. Yet when they meet up with Jesus, they experience the fear of living when they see Jesus alive. Even little children at times can fear that big-toothed, big-eared rabbit with bulging eyes, known as the Easter Bunny, that we might see at a mall. But no one needs to fear our loving Savior, who children adored and wanted to be around. Jesus' resurrection is not to be feared, but to be experienced with great and awesome joy. And because of Jesus' resurrection, we can live joyfully day after day after day, and we do not need to fear our own death. The second thing the angel tells the women is, he is not here. They basically are saying he is dead. He is not dead, rather, and he is not coming back. He is not coming here looking in this cemetery, in this grave. So don't go looking for him in a cemetery. He is not dead. A children's Easter play was in the stage of preparation, and the director was supervising the cast to make certain that each child would feel comfortable with his or her assigned role. One young boy was offered a speaking part, but instead he said, "No, I'd rather play the part of the stone guarding the entrance to Jesus' tomb." The play went well, and when it was over, the director asked the boy if he'd been happy with his non-speaking part. And then he said, "Why did you want to play the stone?" With a big smile, the boy replied, "Because letting Jesus out of the tomb really felt good." Yes, Jesus is not in the tomb. He is alive. And thirdly, the angel tells them to come and see. The stone was rolled aside, not so Jesus could get out, but so that others could go in and see that he was not there, that he had risen. A father knelt down beside his little boy's bed. It was time for prayers and hugs and kisses and tucking in, and the little boy began the childhood prayer that he had repeated so many times before. "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take." Unwittingly, the boy got the words mixed up. He prayed, "If I should wake before I die." Embarrassed, he stopped and he said, "Oh, Daddy, I got it all mixed up." Wisely, his dad responded tenderly, "Not at all, son. That is the first time the prayer was properly prayed. My deepest longing for you is that you may wake up before you die." The child drifted to sleep, but the father turned the prophetic words about in his mind. "If I should wake before I die." "That's it," he exclaimed. "That's the promise and hope of Easter. This is the time to come alive and live forever." And just as those women were encouraged to come and see, to look inside, to see for yourself, we too are encouraged to try on Jesus. Come and see, you will like the fit. And fourthly, the angel says, go quickly and tell. Go forth with the good news of salvation. The women were excited to go and to tell the disciples that Jesus was not dead, but he is alive. And you and I have the wonderful privilege of telling folks where they can find forgiveness of their sins, new and abundant and joyful life, and where they can spend eternity when they know and believe that Jesus died for our sins and was resurrected. In July 1994, Brian Kelly had a request when he died. He lived in suburban Detroit, suffered complications from surgery on his intestines. Knowing he was soon to die, Kelly told his family what he wanted done with his remains. His request was unusual, but his family granted it. Kelly's boss, Mary McCavitt, at Independence Professional Fireworks Shop in Osseo, Michigan, rolled up Kelly's ashes in a 12-inch round fireworks shell. On Friday, August 12th, at a convention of fireworks technicians near Pittsburgh, they shot that shell into the sky. It trailed two silvery comet tails as it ascended into the night sky, and then it exploded into red and green stars. If you want to go out in a glorious display, you have to admit that was pretty spectacular. But you and I can tell people where they can get a bang out of life, and it's not by taking a tic-tac in their mouth. You can go out in a bang in a far greater way than a fireworks display, because it'll be nothing. That is nothing compared to the glory of our resurrected bodies and seeing Jesus face to face in heaven. Nothing on this earth could compare to what that will be like. I remember years ago hearing Chuck Swindoll on the radio saying that when he was conducting a funeral and was at the cemetery, and he told the people, "You're standing on resurrection ground." And they all kind of scooted around. But you know what? For those who believe in Jesus Christ, you are standing on resurrection ground at a cemetery. As believers in Jesus, that is the truth. At the time when we take our last breath, Jesus says to us all, "Come out, come home." So we are on resurrection ground. Years ago, I heard someone share the story of going into Church Cave. It's the largest wild cave system in California. It is a place where you only go in with a guide because it's very dangerous. And if you go in by yourself, you probably won't come out alive. This individual was able to go with a group led by a guide. He described the opening entrance where there's a crack in the rock 18 inches high and 3 feet wide. They unchained the steel bars that were there to keep people out, because if you go in without a guide, you're not going to come out alive. And he described how they had to turn themselves upside down, wiggled back down through this crack. They had to rappel through a hole that was 3 feet across and 200 feet straight down. They came to a place where you are walking along, squeezing your way through this cave, and pretty soon you have to get down on your hands and your knees, and you have to crawl, and then you have to get down on your belly, and you have to squeeze your way through these rocks and cracks as it gets smaller and smaller and smaller. So small that your helmet has to be taken off, and you inch your way on your belly through this area. This guy got stuck in there as he had a large chest, one of the largest chests to ever go through there. And he told the guide he was stuck. And the guide proceeded to tell him to let the air out of his lungs and then move forward 1 inch. Let the air out, move forward 1 inch at a time. He then was able to make it through. He climbed marble cliffs that were almost 200 feet high and scaled waterfalls. After he was in there for a while, he realized that if he didn't die while he was in there, his wife was going to kill him for going in there. After being in there 6 hours, the guide asked if he would like to lead. He was rather hesitant, and the guide assured him he would let him know if he took a wrong turn. So as they got close to the end, He could feel the warm air, and he knew he was getting near the end of this harrowing experience. He knew he had lived to tell the adventure, but then he came across a massive, thick steel bars with a padlock on it. Sick feeling came over him as he said, "We're locked in here. We have to go back the way we came." And the guide started laughing. He said, "I have the key. The only way out was with the key." You and I do not need to go it alone through all the twists and the turns of life, as well as the tight-fitting spaces at times that try our patience. We have a risen Savior who goes with us. And when we come to the end of our lives, when we take that very last breath through faith in Jesus Christ, there is one, and there is only one, who holds the key to everlasting life. And his name is Jesus. Revelation 1, 17 and 18 tells us, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades." And John 14, 19 says, "Because I live, you will live also." And that wonderful I am statement, "I am the resurrection and the life." Do you believe in him? Do you believe he is the resurrection and life? And that when you come to the very end of your life and you take your last breath, that he has the key to welcome you into your heavenly home. Because he is risen. Oh, he is risen. He is risen indeed. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you, we praise you for the powerful resurrection. We thank you, Lord, for the wonderful story of Lazarus, who gave us a foretaste of all that you had prepared for those who believe and trust in you. We thank you, Lord, that when we take our last breath here on this earth, we are standing on resurrection ground because we are ushered into heaven, seeing you face to face, because you do hold the key. You are the only one who holds the key to enter into heaven. So, Father, help us to trust in you every single day through the twists and turns of life. When we lose our patience, when fear grips us, when we are discouraged, when things don't go our way, when we lose the one who is so dear to us in death, Lord, help us to cling on to the hope that you are the resurrection and you are the life, and you have the key to eternal life for every single one of us. Thanks be to God. We thank you that you are risen, that we serve a risen, alive Savior. And it is in his name that we pray and ask all things.